Dada Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. We're reading text 7 and 8. I'll just read the Sanskrit for text 7, and then we'll all read together text 8, which has the purport. Evam ugrashava prishta rishibir namashayanai bhagavati arpita dhyatmas than ahashutatam iti. Translation. I'm being asked to speak by the great sages of Naimasharanya, the son of Romaharshan, Sutta Goswami, whose mind was absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, said, please hear what I shall now speak. Text 8 we'll read together. Sutta uvacha Harerdita krodatano svamayaya Nishamya gora udaranam rasalatat Lilam Hiranyaksham Avagyayahatam. Sanjata Harsho Munim Ahabharataha. Harer Drita Krodha Tano Svamayaya. Nishamya Gor Udaranam Rasatalat. Lilam Hiranyaksham Avagyayahatam. Sanjata Harsho Munim Ahabharata. Harer Trita Krodha Tano Svamayaya. Nishamya Gor Udaranam Rasatalat. Lilam Hiranyaksham Avagyayahatam. Sanjata Harsho Munim Ahabharata. Lilam Hiranyaksham Avagyayahatam. Sanjata Harsho Munim. Sanjata Harsho Munim Ahabharata. Harer Drita Krodha Tano Svamayaya. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta said, Hare of the Lord, Dritta, who had assumed, Krodha, of a boar, Tano, body, Svamayaya, by his divine potency, Nishamya, having heard, go of the earth, Udaranam, uplifting, Rasatalat, from the bottom of the ocean, Leelam, sport. Hiranyaksham, the demon Hiranyaksha. Avagyaya, neglectfully. Hatam, killed. Sanjata Harshaha, being overjoyed. Munim, to the sage Maitreya. Aha, said. Bharataha, Vidura. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami continued, Vidura, the descendant of Bharata, was delighted to hear the story of the Lord, who, having assumed by his own divine potency the form of a boar, had enacted the sport of lifting the earth from the bottom of the ocean and indifferently killing the demon Hiranyaksha. Vidura then spoke to the sage as follows. Purport. It is stated here that the Lord assumed the form of a boar by his own potency. His form is not actually the form of a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is forced to accept a particular type of body by the higher authority of material laws. But here it is clearly said that the Lord was not forced to accept the form of a boar by the external power. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same fact is confirmed. When the Lord descends to this earth, he assumes a form by his own internal potency. The form of the Lord, therefore, can never consist of material energy. The Mayavad version that when Brahman assumes a form, the form is accepted from Maya, is not acceptable, because although Maya is superior to the conditioned soul, she is not superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is under the control of the Supreme Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya is under his superintendence. Maya cannot overcome the Lord. The Mayavad idea that the living entity is the supreme absolute truth but has become covered by Maya is invalid, because Maya cannot be so great that it can cover the supreme. The covering capacity can be employed on the part and parcel of Brahman, not on the supreme Brahman. Om Ajnan Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, ask for your blessings. May our words and our consciousness be aligned with Srila Prabhupada, Guru Parampara. May Shishi Radha Sham Sundar be pleased. May all the devotees also be benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam together. Hare Krishna. So again, this is Canto 3, Chapter 20, entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, Text 7 and 8, so we'll read both together. On being asked to speak by the great sages of Naimasharanya, the son of Ramaharshan, Sutta Goswami, whose mind was absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, said, "Please hear what I shall now speak." In text 8, Sutta Goswami continued, "Vidura, the descendant of Bharata, was delighted to hear the story of the Lord, who, having assumed by his own divine potency the form of a boar, had enacted the sport of lifting the earth from the bottom of the ocean and indifferently killing the demon Hiranyaksha." Vidura then spoke to the sage as follows. So here, Sutta Goswami was asked to continue to speak on the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And it's described here something about Sutta Goswami, something very wonderful. It says in text 7, Bhagavati Arpita Adhyatma. This is his state of consciousness. His state of consciousness, Prabhupada says, that he's always absorbed in the pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Imagine that state of consciousness. Whatever you're doing or saying or how you're interacting, but in the background, always absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, always desiring to speak that. You know, when we're communicating with others, besides just the content of our words, we're also sending forth and receiving each other's state of consciousness. You know, it's a certain state that we carry, and whatever we're saying, that influences another person. And there's only two states of consciousness. Those two, that's broadly speaking, those two have divisions, but really there's only two states of consciousness, material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. This is something Jiva Goswami says, Vakta Sarago Nirago. There are two kinds of speakers. One is Sarago, means their heart is filled with material desires. So whatever they're speaking, whatever they're saying, their overall state of consciousness, they're filled with material desires, material ambition. And that has an influence on who they're speaking to, whoever's hearing. Vakta sarago nirago. And the other speaker, nirago. He has no material desires. Pure consciousness. Two kinds of speakers. And that person who has no material desires, they can communicate yatatta gyan, yatatta, or yatata sometimes. Yatatta gyan means knowledge, but as it is. Like Prabhupada gave the title, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Directly as it is. Whatever the knowledge is, it comes forth with no filter, nothing blocking it. No consciousness that disturbs it or changes it in some way. Because actually if we're filled with material desires, and when a person speaks, because of their desires, they'll speak in such a way where you may not really get the full truth, because a person speaks for their own purpose also. They may just give it just the way they want or according to their conclusions or understanding. So this is called vipralipsa, cheating. They may not even know they're cheating, but But if the heart is filled with material desires, then one will speak in such a way that is there's something for one's own benefit that's desired in speaking that way, in speaking. So this is a defect of the conditioned soul. There are four defects of the conditioned soul. Bram, which means the tendency to make mistakes. And the foundational mistake is that I am this body, I am this mind. That's what causes all other mistakes. If you start off with that, the conception of the self is wrong, then everything else will also be off the mark. So Brahm, the mistake is, that's the fundamental mistake. I am this body, I am this mind. So this is a defect of the conditioned soul, especially when speaking something. And then there's pramada. Pramada means, actually it means the inability to concentrate. So sometimes we say it means illusion, pramada, to be illusioned. But it actually means you're illusioned because you're unable to have the concentration that allows you to see the truth and know the truth, pramada. Actually, pramada is also a name for woman. Not because she doesn't have the ability to concentrate, but because a man who's distracted by a woman, he has the inability to concentrate. Pramada. This is why in all spiritual traditions, there's something of one has to be, you know, careful associating for both men and for women, because the close proximity and the focus like this, sometimes it doesn't allow one to concentrate. This is why in temples and churches and so many religions, sometimes there's a separation. It's not just some dogmatic thing. Separate, you know, we're discriminating against each other, but there's actually some science behind it. You know, I've been to churches in New York City, and, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and someone is speaking, and you're listening, and right in front of you there's a couple who are, you know, embracing their arms around each other, and the priest is speaking, and it's kind of a strange thing, and it's distracting, you know. At least for me, I'm not so advanced, but if you know, seeing these things all around in the temple, the focus is meant to be Krishna. The focus is meant to be God. The focus is meant to be Bhagavatam. So there's a reason why these things are sometimes recommended. So Brahm, committing mistakes, pramada, vipralipsa, the tendency to cheat. And why does one have the tendency to cheat is because they're filled with their own material desires. It's so strong that they actually can't help but do so. They may not even be aware. They may not be intentionally, I'm going to cheat this person. But because of that state of consciousness, it happens. And then the last one is imperfect senses, karana. The senses are imperfect. So these are the four defects of a conditioned soul. So when you hear from that person, what is their state of consciousness is coming to you, you're receiving it. What happens to you then? You are further bound to the material energy. Because if a person is very bound to the material energy, then they're speaking, the vibration of it also has a binding effect on whoever hears it. And imagine then, what is it like to hear from someone who has no motive, no personal motive, but just speaks truth as it is? Then the effect on us as the hearer is that we feel ourselves being liberated from the material conception of life. So this is a nice point by Jiva Goswami. Vakta sarago nirago, two speakers, one with filled with material desires, one with no material desires. So a devotee has to be selective, discerning. I'm on this spiritual path. There's a goal. There's somewhere I want to go. So let me be a little careful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the behavior of a Vaishnava. Asat sangatyag e Vaishnava achar. That one should avoid the association of asat. Asat. And what does that mean? a satsanga. We have to, it doesn't mean you're in close proximity. We're, you know, throughout our day, we're in close proximity with so many people, doing so many things, interacting. But that's not sangha. That's okay. That has to be done. We all have to do that with our work or our life. Sangha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this, asat sangha. Sangha means anything that's done with attachment and love and faith in that person. If they're asat, if they're not devotees of Krishna, abhakta, stri sangi, if it's a person very attached to the opposite sex, and asadhu, those are the three things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. This is, means asat. Asadhu, they are impious, they're attached to the opposite sex, and they are not a devotee. So that is asat. But we deal with those people all the time. So but the sangha part means, but there's some connection, there's some real attachment to that person, some love, some faith in that person, then it's dangerous for us. And then their consciousness will also be affecting our consciousness, whatever they speak. So a good word to be discerning. This is a good word for this. Just know, we don't criticize, because devotee is also, the another behavior of the devotee is ninda shunya hridam, that they have no propensity to find any fault in anybody. So even though we see it and we try to discern, but we find no fault in that person. We don't criticize that person for being that way. It's the material, this is material life, material conditioning. It's, of course, this is where we are, the material world, the conditioning is so strong. So no offense to that person, no critical thoughts of that person, but at the same time I have to discern. And be a little careful that attachment and faith doesn't develop in those words. So, contrasting that now with hearing from Sutta Goswami, has his consciousness is described as Bhagavati Arpita Adhyatmaha, that he's absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So he's in a state called love of God. That is a state of consciousness. You know, some of you had the association of Srila Prabhupada. Why was it so powerful? The state of consciousness. Whatever Prabhupada was doing, even if it was managerial activities, but the state of consciousness is, I'm a servant, a loving servant of God. And that comes through in everything because it's the vibration of the consciousness. Everything is vibration. Even this wooden table here, it's a very slow vibration. And the more and more subtle something is, the vibration becomes higher and higher, the frequency, the movement is faster. And if someone's in spiritual consciousness, it's like infinitely fast, that it's not even called matter anymore, it's called spirit. And if you come in contact, the vicinity of that energy, a person is speaking with that consciousness, then one, what happens? Rupa Goswami explains what happens. And he says, duruhu, duruhu. It's very difficult to say adbhuta, the wonderful effect. He says it's very difficult. This is a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.238. He says it's difficult to say how wonderful the effect of coming in the association of a pure devotee who's speaking Bhagavatam. He says this is how wonderful it is, that if that, even if that person doesn't have faith in what's being said, but they have some innocence, because it says that they can't be offensive. That's one thing. If they're very offensive, if someone is just like, ah, this person is, you know, who cares for what they're saying? I don't believe it. If that mood is there, then it may not get through. But if you have a little innocence, even if you don't have faith, and you hear, and you're in the vicinity of that vibration of a pure devotee, then he says, bhava janmane, that even if you are a beginner on the path of spiritual life, you will experience. You can experience bhava. Bhava, it's like one of the highest stages. Rupa Goswami gives the stages. Right before prema is bhava. So there, and those stages, it's a state. But you can get glimpses, even in a neophyte, completely beginner. If you just hear attentively from a pure devotee, then bhava janmane, then bhava can awaken in your heart. So therefore he says, duruhu, adbhuta, these wonders are hardly You can hardly describe them. They're so wonderful. And why is that important to get glimpses of bhava? Because that becomes a samskar, a vishesh samskar. Ah, this experience has come. What was that? So wonderful. So much more beautiful and wonderful than all these other samskars that come into my mind throughout the day, all these other thoughts. And so it becomes like a competition of samskars, you know? We have unlimited samskars, impressions in our chitta. So we have to somehow put ourselves in an environment where we keep getting spiritual samskars, because they're way more powerful. So even just a few will turn your life in a different direction. So that's our duty as devotees. Let me put myself in the right environment, in the right place, so that some experience, spiritual experience, will come. And as those accumulate in our consciousness, they will overpower the material samskars. Even though the material samskars are unlimited, because how long have we been here? And everything is an everything gets recorded. Everything is an impression in the chitta. So countless. But then one spiritual samskar can be implanted in your chitta and now turn you in a different direction. So this is how wonderful it is to hear from a pure devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, I was reading recently that when we chant every day, that's also what we're after. We're after a powerful experience of the name. So he says, every day a devotee has to enter Savikalpa Samadhi, at least for a little bit of time every day. Savikalpa Samadhi, some kind of absorption when you're chanting. You have to enter it every day, at least for a little bit. What that means is just a total focus and absorption. Because if you make that effort, then the power of the name can give you an impression. And as those, again, as those impressions accumulate, you'll be able to overcome anarthas, not otherwise. Our own mental adjustment is not going to overcome our anarthas. We're too deeply entrenched. But the spiritual energy can help us overcome the anarthas. So that we have to get it. We can't pull it into our hearts, but we can beg when we chant. So he says, every day a devotee, at least a little bit of time, Savikalpa Samadhi. Samadhi, there are different kinds of samadhi. And Savikalpa means it's not so deep, actually. There's Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which is like a very full absorption. But Savikalpa Samadhi, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can do it. It just takes a deep focus, no distractions, sit down. He says in one place, if you need to cover your head with a towel, cover your head with a towel or a blanket so you're not getting distracted by anything. And just close your eyes, let your body just become like a statue. Don't move, nothing else. Just hear the name. Just hear the name. And by that, Krishna can give experiences, and those experiences can overcome our unlimited material experiences. So, this first verse, text 7 that we have today, is about the speaker, Sutta Goswami. Bhagavati arpita atyatmaha, that he's absorbed. So he's this is his adhikar, his qualification to speak. He's absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. And this next verse, text 8, is describing the hearer, who is actually Vidura, because we're like changing the scene here, because Sutta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, but then it shifts into the next verse. He goes back to the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. So Vidura now is being talked about. So this is the Sampradaya. Sam means completely, and pradaya means given. Something that is completely given, but that's one side of it. It also has to be completely received to have a sampradaya. To have a sampradaya, somebody has to completely give. And also, somebody has to completely receive what's given. And then if that is established and carried on over time, it's called sampradaya. Sampradayas can continue for a long time, but there could be no power in them. They could die, even though there may be some succession, because something wasn't completely given or completely received, either one or the other, both. So traditions, we know, religions, right? Traditions carry on, people get up, they do this different rituals and things, and it just looks and feels often very mechanical, no connection, it's not live, it's not alive. There can be a live wire on the ground or a dead wire. How do you find out if it's alive or dead? You touch it, electric shock. So the sampradaya is like, it should be a live wire. It's still continuing. People are completely giving something, completely receiving something. So these two verses together are nice here because one is about the speaker, one is about the receiver, and we see how they're both glorious, and therefore it is alive. There's also something called panta. There's sampradaya and there's something called panta. Sampradaya, in this context, I was describing sampradaya. Panta means that it's not a sampradaya, it's not a continuation of a line, but there's a person who has some realization and they may be very charismatic, right? There are many people like this, especially in India. Somehow it's a pious place, India. It's a powerful place. So even today, somebody's born, and from very early on, there's some deep samskars, and they have realization at a young age, at an early age. Now, this happens other parts of the world too, but it's definitely more prominent in India because of the deep spiritual culture that's been part of that land for so long. So they may have some realization, and what happens if they have realization, if they'll attract people around them. But because they're not connected to any line, they'll influence their disciples, maybe a few followers, but then what happens? Then they may try to teach a little bit to their children, and then it's gone. Doesn't last very long, panta. But they have charisma, they have some power, they have maybe some mystic power, maybe they have some realization of the Atma. There's many people like this in the world today, you know? Somebody just sent me this little video of, you know, you've heard of this speaker? He's from England, I think, Eckhart Tolle. Yeah, he has some realization. He had an experience. You know, he was very depressed and considering committing suicide. And he was lying in his bed, and suddenly in his mind, from deep suffering, he just was like split in two. That he just saw that the mind, it's the mind that's suffering, and I'm not the mind. And he says it never went away, that separation. So from that moment on, you can see when he speaks, there's some realization. It's not just he's reading things. He goes there, nothing, and he's just talking to people. And so he's powerful because of the realization he's had, and he's attracted many people. But where does this go? They're affected, and then he passes away, and maybe those people try to share with people that they know. It gets weaker and weaker, and it's gone. So how fortunate are we? Sampradaya, living spiritual tradition, is also a danger that it can also die, even though it may continue. So we have to make sure something is perfectly being given, something perfectly be receiving. We're following what the acharyas have given. Chanting the holy name, service to the Vaishnavas. We absorb our minds in that, and we come to life, and this line continues. Okay, so this next verse, text 8, is about now Vidura. Just something about him, because he's also such a special person. Vidura, the word means wise or intelligent. Vidura is a nice name. He was the advisor, of course, of Dhritarashtra. And he was the well-wisher of everyone. But we know the story that he warned Dhritarashtra of Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana. He gave a warning that your son, Duryodhana, he will be the ruination of this dynasty. So Duryodhana came to know about this. And so he came to Vidura and very aggressively, verbally attacked him and sent him away. There's a beautiful verse about Vidura's reaction after that was done to him. It says in that verse, he could see when Duryodhana was speaking that way, he could see mayam, the power of maya, influencing him. And so even though his heart was a little bit pierced because he's insulted, you know, it's like if you really mean good and are trying to do good and someone totally misunderstands you and thinks you're the opposite, it can be a little painful. It's a very bad pain, actually, for conditioned souls especially, because it's really felt as... But even, I think, even an advanced devotee, they're trying to do what is right, what is good, and someone misunderstands, I don't know, advanced... But pure devotee, of course, can see the action of maya. So Vidura, it said that he sees the action of maya, and gatavyata, then he takes it as, ah, this is an opportunity from the Lord. So he hangs his bow on the door, which is to say, you know, he's a minister, but also, you know, part of this dynasty, and, you know, like a Kshatriya, he had his bow and arrow. He hung it on the door to say, okay, I'm done. And he left. He went on pilgrimage. He saw it as an opportunity. What Duryodhana said to him, he saw it as an opportunity to now wind down all of his activities, the kingdom and all his involvement, and simply go on pilgrimage. And he goes on pilgrimage. He's meeting with Uddhava, and here he's meeting with Maitreya Rishi. And now what's his position? He's just hearing from Maitreya Rishi. And this verse says, Sanjata Harsha. He's overjoyed just hearing the katha of the Lord. So being involved in all those politics, being insulted, he goes off to take shelter of the holy places, and more importantly, the devotees in the holy places. And now he's relishing Harikatha. He's relishing Harikatha. It says Sanjata. What was born inside of him was Harsha, great joy. He's hearing about the pastime of Varahadev. So this, we should hear this Bhagavatam with great joy. I asked my spiritual master once, how do you hear Bhagavatam what, you know, with great relish and great joy? And he said, don't worry about that so much, that being overjoyed or the relishing. He said, you should hear Bhagavatam by taking shelter of Bhagavatam. It starts with taking shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he gave an example, which was very kind of unforgettable example. He says, like at the time of Vietnam War, there were many battles that were fought just on the ground between people. And when the battle was over, often there's just wounded people on both sides, and you're just there, and there's nobody around. They're wounded, lying there. Maybe somebody, many dead people, but maybe some people are not dead. You don't know. There was a fight. And so they would sometimes send helicopters through that area afterwards when there was no more fighting with a long rope hanging from the helicopter. And they would just go over the areas where the fighting took place. This is his answer of taking shelter. So they would go over those areas and drop a rope, but they couldn't stay there long, those helicopters, because they could also be shot down. So they would just one time sweep through that area with a long rope hanging. And if somebody could see it, who was wounded, if they could grab it, that would be their chance out. But if they couldn't grab it, or they couldn't see it, or position themselves, then they could just die there with nobody around. You know, this Vietnam, there's just like land and land and land in the middle of nowhere. So they would just try that. Go there through, go kind of slow, but you can't go too slow, because again, you can't. It's making a lot of noise, that helicopter. People can hear it and try to shoot. So when that helicopter comes, and that rope is dropped, and there's someone who sees it, and this is their chance. If they can grab that rope when it comes, they'll be saved. If they don't grab it, they may not get another chance. So a person sees it, it's coming, the helicopter. The rope is there, it's within reach. What will be their focus and their attention to grab that rope? How deep will they be focused and attentive? if they miss it, there may not be another chance. So he said, hear Bhagavatam like that. Yeah, it's serious. It's these verses, there's so much nectar, there's so much teaching, there's so much beauty, there's so much power. And so that eagerness when we're hearing, oh my God, I'm suffering in this material world. Let me pay close attention. There may be just something today. If we're inattentive, we'll miss it. Will there be another chance? Who can say? Well, you know, I work for a hospice. I'm seeing all the time, suddenly people dying. Very quickly, some disease comes and it was not known. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, somebody's gone. So we don't know. So just keep that image in your mind. This rope coming. It's coming for you, but you might miss it. But if you're focused, you position yourself and you grab it, then you can be lifted out. So he said, take shelter of the Bhagavatam, and also hear what Prabhupada is saying very carefully. Prabhupada, is his purports, he's giving Sambandha Gyan. In this purport, he's speaking Sambandha Gyan. This is the first thing that we have to become very strong in. Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means three things: Brahma, Jiva, and Maya, the relationship between God, the living entity, and the material energy. To understand that clearly is Sambandha Gyan. There's a conversation with Srila Prabhupada and Professor Durkheim. You can listen to. And it's very interesting because this professor was talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was quoting a lot of Shastra. And Professor Durkheim at some point said, yes, all these verses and your students can quote and you can quote also, but isn't the most important thing experience? Your personal experience. And Prabhupada at first was saying, yes, of course, the spirit, you know, he's talking about, Prabhupada was thinking of spiritual experience. This is very important. But then he kept pushing this point, Professor Durkheim, that, yeah, but the verse is the scripture, but your personal experience is really what makes the change. And he kept saying like that. So Prabhupada finally said, actually, the personal experience is not as important as hearing from the authority. That's kind of interesting, right? Because you think it's all about personal experience. That's where the real transformation takes place. But Prabhupada nicely explained that first you have to hear from the authority for a long time. And then when experiences come, because you've heard the truth, now you can interpret it properly, what happened. But if you don't have that background of Sambandha Gyan and the truth as coming from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and you have an experience, you'll come to your own conclusion based on your conditioning, what that experience means. Just like, you know, like I was saying, some people can have a realization of the Atma, that I'm not the body, I'm not the mind. And it's so powerful that the conclusion they come to is that I am God. Yeah. It's because it's so powerful. I am God, and others are also God. We're just under these vehicles. Once we break from that, we all are the Supreme. So it's an experience, but because it's not based on Bhagavatam, then it's misinterpreted. So somebody may have some beautiful experience in the temple, but not hearing tattva, and they may come to some conclusion that maybe it's close to the truth, maybe it's a little bit off, who can say? But if one hears, then one, this is what I experience, and this is what it means, because now I know what it means. There's confirmation from so many that have come before me. So Prabhupada, at some point, he cut off this Professor Durkheim. No, it is not experience. It is hearing from the authority. That is most important. And then, if you hear from the authority, and you get a refinement of the conceptions of truth, and then the experience comes, because you're meant to use that truth now for the next stage. You get Sambandha Gyan, you get knowledge of the truth, which is leading now, that should inform Abhideya Tattva. Now, how you practice, how you do sadhana. The knowledge should be carried into the sadhana. And that combination, when you have the correct knowledge, it's gone very deep inside of you from hearing, from Satguru, from a pure guru. And then you begin to do your bhajan, chanting, hearing, with that basis of knowledge, truth, then that leads to real realization. It leads to what Jiva Goswami calls Vaidusha Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means direct experience. Vaidusha means like divine direct experience. So first hearing, getting all the ideas strong in our heart. And then with that, abhideya. Now with that understanding, I do service. I chant, I hear, I pray. All of the items of devotional service. And then vaidusha pratyaksha, divine realization comes of Krishna and of bhakti. And that is the real shabda. Praman. That is the real evidence. Praman means evidence. Sometimes we say Shabda Praman means our ultimate evidence is the scripture. And that's true. But there's a soft version of that and a strong version of that. The soft version is like when someone says, well, this goes for any religion, you know. You speak to someone who's Christian, and they may say so many things. Well, how do you know that's true? Because it's in the Bible. Well, how do you know the Bible's true? Because it says so in the Bible. Well, we can do the same thing, right? How do you know what you're saying is true? Because it's in the Vedas. Well, how do you know the Vedas is true? Because the Vedas say that they're coming from God. Well, how do you know that that's true? Because it's in the Vedas. You know, it's good, actually. It's actually needed because at least a person should have the realization that if I'm going to try to reach what is beyond this material world, I can't do it with my imperfect senses, with my the covered consciousness. There's no chance. So actually it is correct to just have that opinion. It has to be outside of myself. This is the source. I have to put my faith in that. But the deeper Shabda Praman is when, yes, it is in the Vedas, and then one also has the realization of what's in the Vedas. That is the praman. That is the evidence that you can have that cannot be taken away by anyone or anything. It's hard to give it to another person or to communicate it. They'll just think, he's just following. But you yourself know. All doubts can be dissipated when there is realization of what is there. Because those people speaking in the Shastra, they're speaking from realization. They have it, but what about me? Maybe I'm just thinking, yes, I just think it's true. And that's also fine, that's a stage too. But the real evidence, praman, is when it's also realized from within. So that is the more stronger understanding of what shabda praman means, the evidence of the shastra. But what is the shastra? It's filled with the awakened divine realization of all the devotees of the Lord and the Lord himself. Okay, so a few minutes left here. Just to quickly point out something in the purport that Prabhupada says, so he's speaking Sambandha Gyan in this purport. So the living being takes birth because they're forced to take birth. But when the Lord comes, there's a big difference, right? Krishna tells Arjuna in the fourth chapter of the Gita, I assume many forms, and so have you. But there's a great difference between the two. When the Lord comes into this world, Icha Shakti, he comes by his will. Icha Shakti actually means willpower. He comes by his own willpower. And it's his lila, as described also, this word is contained in this verse. Lila, it's his play. He comes from his own will in the spirit of play. And Karuna, he comes out of compassion. This is why he comes and takes these different forms. And also it says here, Sva Mayaya. It is his, all of it is his own internal energy. So now the living being, we also are taking many forms, but this is, we are a different nature, Tatashta Shakti. This is not the Antaranga Shakti of the Lord, his internal energy. There's internal energy, Tatastha Shakti, and the external energy. So our nature is tatashta shakti. So there's a difference. And there's a verse where Narada Muni explains that when one, this is in the fourth canto, 29th chapter, text 26 and 27, he gives the whole sequence. He says, avigyaya bhagavatam, one first turns away, forgets God. That's stage one. Stage two, vishajeta guneshu, and then that person gives themselves up to the modes of material nature. I give myself up. I surrender to the modes of nature. And then what happens as a result? Guna abhimani. Then one identifies with those gunas that are now inside, that are circulating within one's subtle body. That what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm doing. And this produces karmani, karmic reactions that come back into me. And that produces abhijayate, another birth. So actually, while we're living, our next birth, for the ordinary conditioned soul, the next birth is already forming in the subtle body. You know, particular eyes, ears, legs, mind, conceptions, it's already working inside of you, and it comes out in stages. Finally, at death, one now will move to that. But it's being created while we're living. So this is very different. The Lord's coming from His Icha, His Lila, His Svamayaya, internal energy. And we are here bound because, this really struck me, Vishajeta Guneshu, the Atma, the living being, gives himself up to the modes of nature. And then it fills him. Those modes fill him, and those keep producing more and more material bodies. So we are forced to keep taking birth, being overpowered by the material energy. Why overpowered? Because we give ourselves up to it. So now there has to be this shift, this turn. Now I give myself up to Krishna. Now I surrender to Krishna. This is what I want. I want to be on that journey of complete surrender to Krishna. And then everything will change. And you come under the internal potency. That fills you up also. Bhakti is an internal shakti. So if it enters into us, then it will change everything. Okay, we'll stop here. Some thoughts or comments or questions or corrections? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prangavim Prabhu.
While you are reading the PowerPoint, I almost remember 7.2.78 when Hiranyakashipu was giving speech to after Hiranyaksha died.
Yeah.
Same Varahadev killed him.
Yeah.
He said, in the purport that how Varahadev appeared by the help of Maya. Just the opposite of this purport. I was like, wow. and everything Prabhupada said here, over there also, where the Brahman comes in contact with Tamagun, create this material world. Brahman comes in contact with Rajagun, create the living entity. Brahman comes in contact with Sattagun, create the form of God.
Yeah.
It's Mayabadi.
Yeah,
but if you compare these two purports, it looks like Prabhupada himself did like opposite.
Mm.
That's very nice, very fascinating.
Mm. Yeah.
I appreciate your thoughtful classes. And I was thinking also when you mentioned about Sampradaya and four defects of the conditioned soul. I mean, many things. I don't want to take too much of time. Mm. But Sampradaya was very interesting. With same Radhanath Maharaj, actually, I had a long time back talk on another topics and that. In our Guru Parampara, certain names we don't mention. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I can say it because it's all recorded.
Yeah.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation from Bipin Bihari. But what the essence to for Sampradaya to stay alive was not coming through that person. So his name is not there. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, in his conversation on four Sampradaya lectures, he said, one has to stay alive and he has to breathe. If nose is blocked, that doesn't mean he should die. He should breathe through the mouth. So whichever form it is coming, that should be looked on, not that how it is coming. You know, he's a guru, disciple, may not come exactly like this.
Yeah.
So when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur put those names, very thoughtfully he pointed out that Dasamul Tattva, the essence principle of Mahaprabhu's teaching, Amnaya Praha Tattam Harimeha, one of the longest verses I ever found, it gives this 10 truths. That it was not coming through Bipin Bihari, that's why we don't disrespect, but we don't mention his name. Mm-hmm. But it was coming through Gaur Krishnadar Babaji. Mm-hmm. Even though Gaur Krishnadar Babaji, according to our Prabhupada, did not even know how to sign his name. Mm-hmm. But he gave the essence of Mahaprabhu's teaching. Mm-hmm. So that's how the parampara or disciple succession maintained. It's very nice.
It's a great point.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So hearing, you know, you describe how the material energy, you know, how we're bound by the material energy, and sometimes I used to, you know, contemplate or think how wonderful it must be to be freed from the illusory energy. Mm. However, when you read that even, you know, subjects like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are still somehow come under the influence of Maya at certain times. So how are we as these, that you also see that Brahma and Lord Shiva also have been been swayed by Maya? Mm. And so how are we as, you know, these insignificant jivas or beings ever feel that we can actually be completely freed from this illusory energy? Mm.
One thing, sometimes they're being covered by Maya is a pastime of the Lord, because they're directly dealing with the Lord. So we see Shiva and things like this. Sometimes it is simply the Lord performing a pastime using them, and they're surrendered souls, so whatever you want. You want me to go? Their surrender also allows sometimes for a covering to come. But for us, we may think that this is you know, they've suddenly just lost their spiritual consciousness. But so sometimes it's like that. Also, a pure devotee is more advanced than a demigod. We have a contact. We have contact with a pure devotee. Demigods are turned towards the Lord, but they also have desires and ambitions, and so it's not a completely pure being, actually. Even though they're so, they're inconceivable. They're like unfathomable, powerful beings, shining divine, almost divine beings, but and their responsibility and their power and what they do is it blows our minds. But at the same time, just a simple pure devotee who's chanting the holy name is actually more advanced, and that's our line, filled with them, so many of them who have come in. So we're connected. If we align ourselves with this parampara, there's great mercy coming through it that's available. So sometimes the demigods, like that, there's some plan of the Lord. So they're special because the Lord is dealing with them directly, right? There's interaction, Indra, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna, Brahma, Vishnu. So sometimes things are happening where it appears that they are covered, but they're sometimes it is Leela. But when there are moments of some forgetfulness, sometimes like that, yeah, they're also not completely pure beings. So that may come. So the reason why we still have a great chance, even though we consider great beings like that, we still have a great chance, is because we can enter in to the whole line of the Guru Parampara by actually that surrender to one spiritual master. One connects to this whole live wire I was speaking about, and the mercy and grace through all of them can come into the heart of that one person, where the power is given to overcome Maya. So we pray for it and we continue on, and it doesn't come by our effort. So when it comes, it comes, and then one is freed. So there's no need to worry too much about it. It's just putting ourselves in this position of receiving that grace. When the grace comes, the heart is cleansed, and one is now absorbed in the internal energy of just serving the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for giving us your association. In that story that Radhanath Swami tells of Vietnam, and how one should hear Bhagavatam. I know one tool that helps is the prayers by Srila Sanatana Goswami from Krishna Lila Stava, especially the last two, if I can recite
please,
them.
Please.
He says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna.
Hari
Bol. It's a good thing to have as a bookmark in our Bhagavatam.
That is wonderful. Attachment to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Krishna. It's Krishna in a different form, another avatar. Granta avatar. The avatar, the book avatar. There's Didi avatar, there's book avatar. My friend, Krishna, in Bhagavatam. Beautiful. Yes, Prabhu.
Well, one thing about Lord Brahma, he's not a like a everyday demigod, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's head of our sampradaya. But one thing, whatever's going on there with those people, it didn't last very long. So that might be a lesson. Even if you feel, aim to make it not last very long. I mean, they really wrapped it up quick, you know?
Yes.
Whatever was going on there.
True. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.